KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment, the home edition. I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guest, who I haven't spoken to in a while, has composed, since we last spoke, over 40 scores, basically every Spike Lee movie since 1990-something or another. I'm not going to give the year because they'll give away how long we've known each other. Well, I'm thrilled to have him here because if you think about albums such as one of my favorites of this century, Breathless, or A Tale of God's Will, or another of my favorites, Jazz and Film, with his incredible rendition of the Chinatown theme, or Anatomy of a Murder. Terrence Blanchard has so much to talk about. He's here, of course, because he's for his second Oscar nomination, because he worked for Spike Lee for over 30 films. My guess is Oscar nominee, Terrence Blanchard.
How you doing, Alvin?
I'm so thrilled to get a chance to talk to you, man. You're here for Oscar nominated for The Five Bloods, your latest collaboration with Spike. And here's something I've always wanted to ask you. I mean, because there's something about the spiritual in all of these scores you've done for Spike. At some point, there's a melancholy that feels almost biblical to me because of what these characters are going through. I just wonder if that's one of the things that you think about when you're doing these scores, because it's almost signaled in The Five Bloods at one point when these guys are launching for their voyage and we hear the horn of one of the boats on the river as they're heading out. And that it's almost the same tone as you strike with a trumpet.
Well, it is. It is. It's part of that journey, man, from when I was a kid, you know, growing up in the church and understanding, you know, what it meant to be an African-American. And then to think that here you have these guys giving the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms, not just for us, but for everybody's freedoms, and to come home and not be celebrated, for me, is a tragedy. And what I try to do with the music in the film is not only show their heroism, you know, but at moments in time, pay homage to the sacrifice that they gave for us and just to say thank you. You know, there is a spiritual quality to it, because that's just the way that I was raised, seeing what these guys had done, putting their lives on the line, man, is the highest form of a noble act in my mind. And the least thing that I can do is write music that can pay homage to their sacrifice.
But that's happened so often in the work you've done with Spike, that intersection between the spiritual and the melancholy, and that horn at some point making that sort of chordal voyage from kind of absorbing the feeling of melancholy, the mournfulness, into going into uplift. It happens so often in the work. I mean, I end up thinking about part of the score of Clockers. Even there are moments in Inside Man where we feel that, where these characters come to a kind of recognition about what they've gone through.
Yeah.
And the horn clarifies that for me so often.
Well, you know, that's the thing about so many of Spike's films. You know, his films have been dealing with the human condition and everything that we've been struggling through in this country. And that's the common denominator between all of those things that you're hearing in the music. Because one of the things that I constantly feel that Spike is saying, and I could be wrong, because we never really had a conversation about it, but I just feel like he's just screaming, like, you know, we just want a fair shot. We're not asking for extra treatment or anything like that. We just want to be treated just like anybody else. And for me, that has been the rallying cry that you hear in a lot of churches around this country, a lot of Black churches, especially around this country. And growing up in that tradition, that element is constantly with me, no matter what it is that I do. And when I'm seeing these situations that Spike puts us in, when you talk about Black Klansmen, when you talk about Miracle at St. Anna, Clockers, all of those situations where people are suffering and trying to fight for just what's right, the common denominator is the humanity in all of us struggling to just be treated fairly, just like everybody else.
Gosh, Terrence, as we're talking about these things, I think about, especially it occurred to me listening in The Five Bloods, where Delroy's character refuses to admit that he's got PTSD. And I think so much of the stuff you've done, both with Spike and on your own, because I just mentioned A Tale of God's Will and Breathless in the introduction, are in effect about the kind of the de facto PTSD that a lot of African Americans are suffering in this country, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, wasn't there a study done about, you know, they can track the tragedy of all of this stuff through our DNA, the elements of it that are just basically in our makeup, the suffering, the pain? That's a very profound thing to think about. I think the thing that's frustrating for me is the fact that on the one hand, we make so many strides in the technological realm. We make so many strides in other areas. And this one area is one that's hard for us to overcome. You know, we're still struggling with cancer and major things, obviously. But we are able to do research. We are able to come up with certain answers or come closer to having answers. And with this thing, we don't seem to be any closer to resolving it. When people went to see Black Klansman and they saw the film, most people looked at it as a period piece until they saw the montage at the end of the film, which made them realize we haven't moved the needle nearly as much as we thought that we have. And then you see what's been happening now late since the insurrection. It's just been an eye-opening experience about people not being able to celebrate the differences between our cultures. I would think that that would be something that would excite people to have varying cultures, to have things that are different from what it is that you're accustomed to. Life would be boring if we did the same thing every day.
By the way, it's the treatment. We're talking to an old friend who I've known for over 30 scores, Terrence Blanchard, who's here to talk about his new score, most recent score, Defied Bloods, which he's Oscar nominated again. Your scores all feel, I'm sorry, they feel like sweets to me. And that moment of exaltation, if you've ever seen Terrence Blanchard play live, my God, you get that so often. But I feel like you are almost in some ways, that's the sweet release for you, isn't it?
I don't know if it's a release or if it's rage sometimes. You know what I mean? Sometimes I think about what Baldwin says, you know, to be Black in America, it means to be in a constant state of rage. And sometimes I feel that because you just want to say, can't you hear me? Can't you see what's going on? And frankly, I'm getting to the point where, you know, you get tired of having these discussions. Look at what just happened in Colorado. Why are we still having discussions about gun control? Aren't we tired of these things, you know, happening? It just baffles the mind to think that there could be solutions to some of these things. I'm not naive enough to think that we would totally rid ourselves of catastrophes or tragedies happening. I'm not saying that, but I do think we can minimize a great deal if we just were a little bit more proactive in how we approached these things. And to think that the country has become so polarized politically, it's hard to move in either direction to get anything done these days. And that, to me, is a sad, sad commentary on our country, because this was supposed to be the experiment where there was supposed to be a free-flowing an exchange of ideas to create a better union. And that doesn't seem to necessarily always be the case. And it's a frustrating thing to witness. So yeah, that you can hear that in the music sometimes, but sometimes it's not exaltation. Sometimes it's just pure rage and frustration.
I mean, really, what's the difference between, you know, Eric Garner and Breathless is about that, and them saying, I can't breathe. And didn't we just hear that again last year?
Yeah. And think about this, you know, think about the guys that were in that military struggle based off the Five Bloods. Think about what they were going through. One of the scenes that really broke my heart in the film is the MLK assassination scene. Because I know I wasn't there, but I could just imagine that in the middle of that struggle, you're over there fighting a fight, knowing that Martin Luther King is fighting for you back at home, and you're doing your damnedest to be a professional soldier and show that African Americans are capable of doing everything else everybody else can do. And then all of a sudden, this guy is taken off the planet and murdered. That had to be a serious jolt to the system, you know, because while you're fighting another foe, that foe never called you the N-word. Not like that. That foe never prevented you from having housing or getting a job. And while you're fighting that foe at the behest of the country itself has created a climate where Martin could be shot and killed. That had to be a jolt to the system. It had to be. You know what I mean? And watching that and seeing the rage on their faces, those actors, man, were brilliant in their portrayal of these characters.
Yeah, as you were saying that, I mean, we get to hear that a couple of times before that speech. There's the Vietnam propaganda saying the same things you're saying, and then there's a clip of Ali saying that exact same thing at the beginning of the film. I mean, it's a recurrent message, and it's why I guess I was using the word exaltation, because to me that's also a biblical thing too. That's an Old Testament kind of release. I said this to you. I feel like a lot of these, your scores feel like suites to me. And those movements in suites. And at that point, at some point in most of them, we do get that moment where literally, spiritually, your hornbell things are tilted up. And that can be an exclamation of rage or a purging of frustration or a cry to the heavens.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The music should feel like a suite because it is helping a director to tell a story. So it should flow seamlessly throughout the film in and out to help come in where there's moments where words won't suffice. That's definitely, you know, my job. But I remember Wayne Shorter said something to me too, just about life, being a musician. You know, he said, your life is one big composition. When he said that, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks because I got it right away. Because we tend to think of putting everything into one piece of music, wanting to make the definitive statement in one piece of music. And it's like, no, man, it's a journey. It's a path. It's a documentation of growth, spiritual growth, musical growth, mental growth, and health. And with each film is like a small chapter within that larger story. But within those chapters, there's subplots. And the thing that's always interesting about Spike's stories and his films, he wants the music to be almost operatic in a sense. You know, I remember when we did Miracle at St. Anna, man, I scored the first battle scene like a battle scene. I had a lot of percussion going on and all that stuff. Spike's like, no, man. He says, no. I don't want underscore. He says, I just want strong melody. I want to show these guys as heroes. And I went, oh, okay. So from that moment on, I really got where he was coming from with his style of filmmaking. It made so much sense. So that's a great part of what it is that you're hearing when you're watching any of his films. We're starting to work on a documentary right now. We've had some preliminary conversations about exactly that. You know, what's the tone of the thing going to be? And it's 8 hours, dude. It's 8 hours, which is a lot of music. And that music is going to have to be composed as a huge suite of music. But the documentary itself covers so much ground. The music is going to have to do the same thing.
Well, I have no doubt that you're up to the challenge. For God's sake, you know Wayne Shorter. We'll take a break. My guest is Terrence Blanchard. His newest Oscar nomination is for the score to the Spike Lee joint, The Five Bloods. It's a treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes. Join Jacqueline Coley as she hosts a brand new podcast, Seen on the Screen. Meet the innovative people at NBC Universal as they share their journeys, inspirations, and the movies that define them. Each episode is an intimate and fun conversation about the impact of film. Seen on the Screen is available now wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guest is Terrence Blanchard. His newest achievement is his Oscar nomination for the score for the Spike Lee joint, Five Bloods. There's so much to talk to you about, Terrence. One of the things that you just said before the break about being energized, I mean, that's the thing I also feel from these scores, too. But also, you were saying underscore, and as often as not, your scores are not underscore. I mean, they are suites, and they're written to have the flow of suites rather than themes, which serve as underscore to tell us to really declaim something. Your score exists as a body really to comment on what the film is doing. I think there is kind of an Olympian task that's demanded of you because the music can't overwhelm the film, but it's got to be as strong as the film. And that's when I was mentioning these pieces from the Jazz and Film CD, when I was thinking about that Chinatown piece that you play so beautifully, or Man with a Golden Arm, or Anatomy of a Murder. Those are all things that do that same kind of thing you do.
Well, you know, look, man, I'm standing on some strong shoulders, dude, for sure. You know what I mean? Because I've done my homework in terms of studying the guys that have come before me. You know, Jerry Goldsmith is one of my heroes for sure. Tom Newman, you know, Miles Goodman, is a bunch of folks. But, you know, I have to give a lot of credit to Spike, man, because Spike forced me into this realm where I had to figure out a way to give him what he wanted and at the same time service the film. So he would like to have a lot of melodic content. I can't remember the film, but, and he probably won't even, I don't think he remembers the conversation because I brought it up in one of the interviews and he didn't remember, but I remember. You know, we were talking and I said, dude, you sure you want to have theme there? Because there's a lot of important information in that scene, you know? And he goes, listen, man, he got a little perturbed with me. You know, he goes, listen, man, it's been scientifically proven that the brain can concentrate on more than one thing at one time. I'm going to say, well, sir, there you go. You know, so you know, it pushed me into the realm of trying to figure out, okay, well, if I'm going to keep this melody going, how do I shape this around dialogue? How do I still score what's going on in the scene and still maintain this melodic theme that Spike wants to have? And over the years, it's helped me create a style of writing for his films that I generally don't do for many other people. Maybe when I did Harriet Tubman, probably the only other film that was similar to this.
It's sort of, but not really in Harry. I mean, because what you do there is closer to a classic underscore than what you do with Spike. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, it really is. Basically, he wants your pieces to be as demanding as the films are, because in visual terms, there are a lot of declamatory things. We know at some point we're going to see an effect flashcards. We'll see at some point a still that's going to, like, is an exclamation point before the sentence, as a matter of fact. It's almost Spanish. The exclamation point starts the sentence rather than finishes it. And then you got to come in and step up and be ready for that in a way that, again, doesn't overwhelm the visual content, which to me sounds like an incredible thing, incredibly hard thing to do.
It was at first. I guess I'm just accustomed to it now. We've been doing it for 30 films. And it's been a great experience, man. You know, he's definitely made me grow, that's for sure. Because, you know, in trying to figure this out and work through those issues, it's gotten me to the point now when I'm working on a film of his, I'm like, oh, okay, I just know what to do. And that's what happened with The Five Bloods. The Five Bloods was daunting in that it's a powerful and it's a great movie and it's amazing, amazingly shot. It's beautiful and it's gorgeous. And all of the actors did an amazing job. Delroy, you know, Clark Peters, Isaiah, Chad, everybody. So it was interesting earlier when you were talking about underscore and, you know, music that's more sweet. Like with Spike's films, especially with The Five Bloods, you know, the beautiful thing about that is that my main job in that film was to be right with the actors. Their performances were so incredible. I didn't have to push. I didn't have to hold back in some spots. I just had to be right there with them. And that was a beautiful experience to have. as a composer? Because, you know, sometimes, man, you're working on a scene and you go, okay, well, there's not much there in that scene, so maybe I need to over embellish to get the point across. But with the Five Bloods, man, there was none of that. There was none of that. One of my favorite scenes to score was when they found the gold.
That's such a great moment because, again, it's the things we're talking about. It's a sizable piece of music that has an emotional import to get across.
And, you know, the thing I forgot to tell you, you know, one of the things about Spike that he told me very early on when I first started working with him, he said, listen, I want your music to be able to stand on its own away from the film. And that was a powerful directive. Sometimes you hear underscore and it, man, it works amazingly well with the film because that's what it was designed to do. But if you take it away from the picture, it can just be ambient stuff that may not make a lot of sense to the casual listener. With Spike, his whole idea is that he wants you to walk away from the film, whistling the themes. And then when you hear the music, you know, he wants those themes to recall scenes from the film. He wants the music to take you right back to the film. Spike is one of, if not the only director that I've ever worked with, and go check me when I say this, that when we do a score for him, he'll list all of the musicians who played in the orchestra in the credits. It's not often that you see that.
No, that's very unusual. That, you know, that's somebody who's not afraid to enlist collaborators, is what we're saying. And as you were talking about the imagery, this is something I'd want to ask you about too, because there is an operatic clarity to your work with Spike that rivals, not rivals, but complements the really potent clarity of the images. I mean, there, as often as not in Spike's work, there's no ambiguity. There are two sides, but there's no ambiguity in it. The impact of these images and the impact of your work in terms of adding music has to equal, you know, what's going on in the direction. I mean, that's a huge demand.
Yeah, well, listen, man, one of the things that I've always loved about working with Spike is that he's never shied away from tough subjects. Never. And he never will. He's willing to put it out there to have people talk about it, both sides of it. And it's forced me to confront it musically because that's my job. And I think the other thing that's also never really spoken about with Spike is Spike is an artist in terms of how he frames the scenes. Like when you watch Spike's movies, just do it as a test, man. Just put the DVD in, or if you're watching it digitally, just put it on and then just stop it at any moment and look at what's on the screen. And you'll probably see a perfectly composed picture. It's well thought out, bro, from every aspect. And he doesn't get enough credit for that because the subject matter of what he deals with is so powerful. That's what most people talk about. But the dude is a craftsman. And I noticed it when we were doing Miracle at St. Anna, because he would send me still images from the shoot. And man, the still images were just amazing as stills. And that's when it caught my attention. I said, wow, check this out. This guy is always thinking about these images. And it goes to that point that you were talking about, you know, so when it comes to me and I have to score this, I'm following him. And then there's just sometimes where it's just magic and the divine, you know, there's one scene where Paul Delroy's character sees Chad's character at the end, and Chad is standing there in the forest under this light that's just shining through the trees, and it's just a gorgeous shot. And when I asked Spike about how they shot that shot, Spike said, man, that was just God shining down on us. He said, because that wasn't any light. We just knew we had to hurry up and capture that while it was that way.
It's the treatment. We're talking about the divine with my guest, the divine Terrence Blanchard, his newest project, for which he received his second Oscar nomination as the score to Spike Lee's The Five Bloods. It's the treatment. I think as you're saying these things, I just find myself wondering when you felt you turned the corner, because you said it was kind of it was an unusual thing to be asked to have music that was commanding but not dominating.
Yeah.
Because basically what Spike wants us to do is, as viewers, is he wants to grab our attention. And also, too, because I remember talking to him about this once, I said, we can talk about, you know, School Days, but I think every movie he's done since School Days has had more score than School Days is. And School Days is a musical.
It's funny you asked. The one that I think I turned a corner. Well, I think I turned a few corners with Spike. The first major corner was when I did Malcolm X, because I was scared to death. And I was like, whoa, really? You know, so I did a ton of studying, man. I listened to some scores and I pulled out some scores to some Stravinsky and just a couple other composers and just did my homework. And then it just kind of progressed from there. And I feel like when we got to Miracle at St. Anna, man, I can't explain to you how that score damn near wrote itself. It was a huge score. Huge orchestra. I think it was well over 60 minutes of music in it. But every day I got up to write, it was just flowing. I can't explain it. It just flowed and it was freaking me out. I got a little nervous about it actually because I kept saying to myself, man, this is coming too easy. You know, but at the same time, I had read this book, I forgot the writer's name, but it's called Flow, and it's just about being in a flow, and it talks about how a lot of times we think in order to be creative, we have to struggle, and that's totally the opposite. He said, when you're in the flow, it feels effortless, and that's what I felt when I was writing Miracle at St. Anna.
Is that where your album title came from, too, from that
yeah,
book?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, came from that book. As a matter of fact, there's a tune on the album that came from the book, too, because we were sitting in the studio, man, talking about flow and being in the flow. And Herbie Hancock produced the album. So Herbie said, well, damn it, go out there and create some. Just go out there and play. We were like, okay, yeah, all right. Come on, man. Herbie told us to just go out there and make up a tune. Let's go out there and make up a tune.
I find myself thinking, too, because if we look at, for example, Five Bloods, there's about 6 minutes of incidental music, of needle drop stuff that comes in before you come in with the score. This is a long time before you come in with the score.
Yeah.
And the stuff you're following is stuff like Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. So you've got to be ready to step up. And so often in these movies, the song cues you're following are pretty big songs.
But it's not just the big songs, but it's the big personality. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's a powerful voice in the music world. And one of the things that I knew coming into that first scene took me 5 days to write, dude. That, you know, and I'm generally kind of quick.
Really?
Yeah, I took my time on that thing because I kept saying after people heard all of this music, then all of a sudden the fight is on. When the fight is on, okay, we got to be in it. You know what I mean? And this music can't drop the energy at any point because the fight is on and it's going on. Until we see Chadwick on one knee holding that rifle in his arms. I plotted that thing out just on the piano for 3 days, dude. It took me, I was taking my time, and it was one of those things. And just for the young composers out there that are listening, man, look, it was one of those things where, like, if I felt like I started to get to a point where I was having a block, dude, I'd take a break. I'd go grab something to eat or go hang with the family or do something. Get my mind off of it and then come back to it. And I did that for 3 days. And then when I finally got it all plotted out for 3 days on the piano, then I had to figure out who was gonna play what. So then I had to do the orchestration for 2 days.
Well, Terrence, we're gonna wrap this up because, you know, I could continue this conversation for another 30 scores, but we're out of time. Thank you so much for doing this and congratulations on the nomination.
Hey man, it's great to talk to you again. Thank you, bro. Really appreciate it.
Always great to talk to you. My guest is Oscar nominee for his score for The Five Bloods, Terrence Blanchard. Our production team includes Paul Smith, Desmond Taylor, and Kat Yore. The show is edited by Rebecca Mooney, who's also a producer. It's a good life sometimes. To better days, everybody. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. To catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.